You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Gordon Brown, John O'Connell and John Budden in the studio. Two jumps meetings, Plumpton and Hereford, accompanied by All Weather Racing in the afternoon at Kempton and All Weather Racing in the evening at Newcastle. So four meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Alistair Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good podcast to do this, really, because we can reflect on the Breeders' Cup, the best of Saturday's domestic action, plenty of other good racing as well, and then we get stuck into Monday. So
indeed.
Well done for being here at this time.
Yeah, lots to discuss. It's a good one.
You love the Breeders' Cup, don't you? You do a piece for the Weekender, traditionally.
Yeah.
You do loads of stats and trends. Did this year's live up to expectation?
Well, it was fairly quiet on the European front, wasn't it?
We didn't
really have any. Obviously, we only had one winner over the 2 days. That was the Odessa. And if you take away the O'Brien factor, if you like, it was a very, really quiet weekend, compared in previous years. You know, Nabel last year and the Schmeichel Stout winner of the mile, of course. You know, we always were good for two or three winners at least over the weekend, and yet we were sort of scraping the barrel this time with Iridesa, the only winner we had in the filly and mare turf. And you know, races like the Breeders' Cup Mile and especially the turf, the Breeders' Cup turf, which is a real European stronghold, if you like. We're left relying on Anthony Van Dyke, who's been a bitter disappointment since winning the Derby. He ran well. Thought he was given a really moderate ride by Ryan Moore. In the end, the way things panned out, easy to be critical, of course, when you're making split-second decisions. But to get stuck behind an outsider that was on the retreat wasn't exactly, copybook riding, if you like. So yeah. That was a disappointment, but it was a funny meeting, obviously, with Santa Anita as well. They had another fatality in the Classic, which was unfortunate. You know, it's been a torrid year for that track, and I was looking forward to it more with as much trepidation as I was excitement, really, because of, you know, what's been going on over the last 12 months. So at least, you know, by and large, the meeting passed without any great incident, which was good, if nothing else.
Yes, there was that lovely story, wasn't there? I'm trying to remember the name of the filly, but
Belvoir Bay.
Is that the story where she was one of those in the fire?
She was lost for 2 days, yeah, and then come back. I think it was Belvoir Bay.
Yeah, I think you're right. And great story, that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. She was lost for 2 days, and then a wonderful story, really was. And obviously, the other one would be. Mitole, who won the sprint, the Breeders' Cup, we think it's for all the big spenders. He cost about 20 grand, I think.
Yeah.
So it is feasible to win at the top table when you've, you know, with a relatively small outlay, though not often does it happen.
And what about the Classic itself then? Went away Vino Rosso, who was actually a pretty comfortable winner in the end, pulled away in the closing stages to win by 4.25 lengths, beat McKinsey and Higher Power. Is he that good?
He's outstayed them, hasn't he? I don't think it wasn't a great renewal of the Classic, in fairness. And McKinsey was the one I particularly liked, but his potential weakness was always potential stamina limitations. Though if you're ever gonna win the Classic without staying the trip, then Santa Anita is the place to do it. I think something like six of the last nine Classic winners hadn't actually won over the trip, so I thought McKinsey would get away with it. But he's basically been outstayed. Bob Baffert did everything he could. He even changed the jockey in typical Baffert manner, you know, ruthlessly disposed of Mike Smith in the hope that it would change the horse's luck, but it wasn't to be. But a good winner.
If you take anything, one thing away from the Breeders' Cup this year, what is it? That Europe is struggling.
Well, you know, they call it the World Championships, blah, 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 as they continue to, but let's be honest, if you take away the Coolmore connection, then especially since our Champions Day has been pushed back in the calendar.
Yeah.
You know, this really is an afterthought now for British horses. Unless you've got a horse that really needs fast ground, then maybe you would skip Longchamp and Ascot and prioritise the Breeders' Cup. But unless you've got a horse that really does need fast ground, then it's very much a case of an afterthought, really. And it's only the fact that Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore gang continue to prioritise it, which is understandable, given the way they operate and the way they're looking to build their breeding empire. But if you take away their connection, then the European challenge is nothing like as strong as it used to be. But there's one thing to take out of it, and that is that Joseph O'Brien really is a trainer that has the world at his feet. You know, he's only a young lad still, and yet you look at the races, he's already won over Jumps and the Flat. And to have already won a Breeders' Cup race as a jockey and as a trainer, Melbourne Cup and everything else that he's won at such a young tender age really is quite remarkable. And I know he's got powerful owners and he's got a lot of good horses with good pedigrees, but even so, we've seen many other trainers who also have that, you know, are blessed with all the right tools, if you like, and they balls up. And yet this chap just has the golden touch.
He does. I think he is the youngest man to ride a winner and train a winner in the Breeders' Cup. I think he's one of only two that have done that.
Yeah. And he just seems like a really decent bloke.
Yeah.
Very down to earth. But obviously his father's the same, you know. They're a good family.
That was the Breeders' Cup then for another year. On the domestic front, it was all about the good jumpers coming back, really. And we'll start with a look back at Ascot. The feature race there was the 3:20, the big betting race of the day, the Sodexo Gold Cup Handicap Chase, and it was Vindication for favourite backers.
Vindication at the last. What a leap! Oh, touchdown, 6 or 7 lengths clear. Regal Encore, his usual big run at Ascot, has joined Black Cordon, but they're only playing for second place. Vindication in great style with David Bass for the Kim Bailey stable has won. Regal Encore in second, then Black Cordon on the blind side moved into fourth, laid on from Potter.
Yeah, so Vindication, the winner, 2-1 favourite home in front. There in the Sodexo Gold Cup Handicap Chase, beat Regal Encore, Black Cawton, and on the blind side, Marky got it spot on, and a 5-length winner in the end, who was never really in too much doubt.
Not at all. Kim Bailey had the option of taking on Lost in Translation at Carlisle on Sunday or heading for this, and he thought, well, he thinks he's got a Gold Cup horse on his hands, and if that's the case, then he had to be winning a handicap off a mark of 150. And boy, did he do it. I think he's a better horse at 3 mile than he was 2.5. I thought he ran in, they should have run him in the RSA last year, and they didn't. They decided to go for the JLT, and he predictably sort of got a little outpaced. But he looks a serious horse for 3 mile moving forwards. He could be, I know he may be a better horse going right handed than left, which would be a concern come Cheltenham time, but let's worry about that nearer the time. They'll be chuffed to have won such a big prize first time out. And he's a horse that could be anything. He's a real strong stayer, jumps well. You know, I love him to bits.
I think it was the right decision as well, because Lost in Translation on Sunday made a very, very good reappearance.
Absolutely. He looked... he's got everything. He's quick, but the feature with him is his jumping. Mm. He's an absolute
brilliant
natural at it. Yeah. You know, he's bold and brave, but when he's... I wouldn't say fiddles fences. When he's not on the right stride, he just organises himself so well. I don't think I've ever seen him make a mistake.
No. That's what sets apart the natural chases, isn't it?
Absolutely. You need that yeah, at the top level.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah,
is the difference between you look at Delta Work yesterday, you know, who was fiddling his way all the way around Down Royal, where the fences are nothing more than brush hurdles, really. They're not big imposing obstacles by any stretch, and yet young compare that with the Tizard horse at Carlisle, where the fences do take some jumping, and he just absolutely made mincemeat of them. He is a real racehorse.
So a couple of nice chases for the future there then. The Charlie Hall chase at Weatherby on Saturdays, where we usually see some of the best staying chases around. A Grade 2 contest over 3 miles, and it went the way of Ballyoptic.
Ballyoptic fights his way to the lead, coming to the 17th and final fence. He's in close. Aso is second. Elegant Escape is still running on. 150 yards left to go. It's Ballyoptic showing in front by 3 lengths over Elegant Escape, and Ballyoptic staying on strongly towards the line to win the Bet365 Charlie Hall chase for Sam and Nigel Twist and Davis. Ballyoptic wins the big one from Elegant Escape in second, Aso in third, Definitely Red in fourth, and Top Veal Ben back in fifth.
Yeah, won by 3 1/4 lengths in the end there, Ballyoptic. Winner for Nigel Twist and Davis, Sam Twist and Davis on board, giving him a good ride. And they always start the season well, and it's the same again this year.
Yeah, they've got a good, I think that was their sixth win in that race, and essentially it was stamina that won him the day. I mean, Ballyoptic sort of last season was a complete nightmare for him, but he came back and won really well at Chepstow under a big weight. And we actually put him up in the studio on Saturday because we just thought with all the rain coming, it was going to be a real test of stamina, and that's what it proved. If you look at the front two horses, Ballyoptic has finished second in a Scottish, and you've got Elegant Escape, he's won a Welsh. So national form came to the fore, and that was purely because of it was such a thorough test of stamina. You know, Aso, you know, he moved like the best horse in the race, but he blatantly failed to stay. Le Bagawar hated the ground and was wisely pulled up. Wasn't a great renewal, in fairness, but Connections of Ballyoptic won't care about that. They've got a good prize in the bag, and onwards and upwards.
Equally testing around about 35 minutes before that as well in the West Yorkshire Hurdle. My dad always used to say to me as a kid, it's not the end of the world, there'll be a bigger bang. Well, the world's end, return with a bang.
The world's end from You Know What I Mean, Harry. Here's the final flight. Great jump again from the world's end. Two taps in the centre, You Know What I Mean, Harry, with plenty of fire still left in his belly to the far side, but the world's end is going to prove too strong. He's making every yard of the running here in the Bet365 Hurdle, and pushed out towards the line, the world's end gets his career back on track, beating You Know What I Mean, Harry in second. Two taps, a great comeback in third. Back in fourth, Ballyandy didn't quite see it out.
Yeah, we put him up in the studio as well, the world's end, funnily enough, because he did okay last season over fences, but that was a funny race. You just had to be against You Know What I Mean, Harry. As much as we all love him, he's coming on 12 now. And what was the other market leader in that race? Ballyandy, who was 11-8. You know, we just couldn't believe how this horse could be so short in the market. And with Tom George having, if Tom George could, has he had a better week? Everything he ran seemed to win the last 7 days, including Black Op, Somerville Boy, who were top class novices who last year just didn't fire at all. And given who who owns those horses as well, the Brookhouses, they are notorious for, if things don't go, go a bit rocky, then they'll sort of move them on. So I think that was a real big week for Tom George this week. He had a high profile winner at Ascot as well. He's banging in winners all over the shop, and the world's end was well backed, looked right back to his best, and good for them. It'll be interesting to see whether they go back over fences with that horse, but they've got both options now.
They have, yeah. The world's end, the winner. You Know What I Mean, Harry, a gallant second, but just not quite the force of old, is he?
No, two taps just doesn't win.
Yeah. So that was a look back at the best of Saturday's action then, both on the domestic front and stateside. Let's turn our attention now to some of the action coming up, because we've got more jumping to look forward to on Monday. Alistair has picked out a couple of races for us at Hereford, starting in the 250, which is a 2 mile, 5 furlong novices handicap chase. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post. Rococo River already a non-runner as we record this. And some decent enough animals in here, some that I'm looking forward to seeing return to action as well. And what would you come down on Monday?
What do you think? It's a competitive race for this. Cuban Peter's a horse that hasn't been seen since winning at this track in March. He's gone up £10 for that ahead of his chasing debut. He's interesting. He's totally unexposed on this sort of ground, because prior to winning last time, he'd been confined to soft or heavy, which I don't think suited him. The one I like, though, is number 9, The Brothers, who is now with Robert Walford. He didn't win in any of his 14 runs for Colin Tizard, but he remains in the same colours. And this horse has placed form off higher marks over hurdles, so he can definitely win races off a mark of 103. And he's bred to be a chaser. He's got a nice jumping pedigree. I like the trainer, Robert Walford. And he had a winner last week who was very well backed. His horses aren't in bad form at all, and I just think if this horse can, obviously it'd be interesting to see how the market pans out and whether there's any confidence behind him, but I've got no doubt that he can win races off his current mark. And if there is a bit of money about for him, then I think he'd be a really interesting proposition on Monday.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for how the brothers shapes up in the market then, but yeah, certainly in terms of pedigree, he should be better by the bigger going over the bigger obstacles now, shouldn't he?
So yeah,
good to see how he gets on there in that novices handicap chase. And the 350 also picked out by Alistair. This is 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs in front of them for a National Hunt Auction maiden hurdle, which isn't the highest grade. What's made you pick this?
Well, I think there's a horse number three called Jules Eparti. I don't know if I've pronounced that right, but I'll give it a good go. Now with Archie Watson. A bit concerning that this horse had some decent form for Nigel Twiston Davis last season. He won a bumper with Christian Williams. And then he moved to Twiston Davis. He's always been owned by... Di Walters. He had been anyway, but they've sold him for $25,000. Now, that, admittedly, that is a bit of a worry, but because that run at Perth last time when he was last seen in the spring has worked out quite well. The second's come out and won since. The winner is a horse of Gordon, Elliott's called Braid Blue, who, of course, finished second at the open meeting at Cheltenham. So that form reads really well. He's with our... I know he's left Twiston Davis, but he's been moved to another very, you know... respected stable in that of Archie Watson, who is of course better known for his flat exploits. But if this horse has got a future as a hurdler, and you'd hope he has because his form stacks up, and especially in maiden company, then he needs to be going pretty close, I think, on Monday. And I'll, because of the Archie Watson factor, and it's not a backward step by any stretch, then moving yards, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. So I'll go with Juge Eparti to get off the mark over hurdles.
Okay, Juge Eparti in the 350 at Hereford, along with the selection in the 250, which was The Brothers. Thank you very much, Alistair. It's been a pleasure as always.
Indeed.
Best of luck. Enjoy it on Monday.
Cheers. Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Alistair Jones on Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. Gordon Brown, John O'Connell and John Budden, the team in the studio, Plumpton, Hereford and Kempton in the afternoon, and evening action at Newcastle as well. Should be a good day. Join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.